Welcome to Fun is Fundamental. Fun is Fundamental is a podcast for those who realize that the enjoyment of life is about having something deep in our souls which lights our fire. It's for those who maybe have lost that fire and feel like they are missing out on the pleasures of life. In each episode, I will share recent fun activities and focus on why having fun is essential for good health. I'm your host, Alenia, and I invite you to take this journey with me and join the pleasure-seeking movement.
Hi, good afternoon, John. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, too. I guess, first off, can you introduce yourself to the audience and tell us a little bit about Kishar spiritual community?
Yeah. I am a spiritual guide there, a co-founder with my wife and another friend of ours who we spent time with overseas during war in Afghanistan. And been working on that now for over 2 years and wanted to create a place where people could have authentic, meaningful connection in the digital age. We felt like there was space for that and a need for it too, where people, you know, don't have to have a lonely spiritual journey or can find that way where they can align their mind, body, and soul in the modern world. And that's what we're kind of up to.
Nice. And how, what was like the catalyst that drew you to that?
You know, I had never, you know, I spent most of my life, I grew up in a small town in rural Oklahoma. I was a Southern Baptist family, was raised liberal progressive within that, which is kind of odd. End up joining the Army straight out of high school and became a counterintelligence special agent. I spent years at war, about, I'd say 12 of my first 15 years of my adult life were in Kuwait, Iraq, and Afghanistan. So, that was part of the catalyst. I think that was really obviously formative because I spent all that time until I was in my mid-30s, kind of just like really driven, mission-oriented person and being. And then I came home and didn't really understand who or what I was. And so had some healing. And then for me, what happened was kind of one of those instantaneous things. I wasn't on a spiritual path that I really understood or anything. And one night I was just laying in bed with my wife. She was asleep. And I just kind of had this understanding of the oneness of the universe and that we're all connected. And I understood what my higher purpose or Dharma was. I understood that I wanted to kind of help people help themselves, find their wholeness inside, whether they saw it or not or knew it. And to share my journey with people and hopefully that they could share theirs with me and we could have an open-minded, better conversation.
Yeah, as opposed to just kind of being like some like religious kind of things where it's just like, this is how it's supposed, you have to do this kind of thing, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly yeah. That.
So you said that you started this about 2 years ago. How long did it take you to really start like the actual community from when you, where it started for you?
Yeah, we didn't go live until fall of last year, so this past year.
Okay.
And it took almost 2 full years to kind of get everything. You know, there's the technical side, there's the administrative side, there's the creative side, which is the cool part, you know, but you got to do all the other stuff too, right? And I tried to enjoy that process because I wanted to enjoy the journey along the way, but there were always some frustrations along with the technical and the administrative stuff, but we got it done. So yeah, I had to work every day for 2 years to make it happen.
Yeah. Can you share a little bit about your transition from military life to civilian life?
Sure. My first transition was really, I was a soldier and then I became a civilian, but I was doing the same job. So I was still part of that military thing. And then the real transition to civilian life for me came all those years later in 2015. I was kind of burnt out, completely, you know, I'd been working 110 hours a week for years on end. And so I came home, my wife who had done the same job as me, she was with me all that time overseas, so we both came home together in 2015. We were kind of just like who am I and what am I outside of that? I didn't really understand what it meant to be a civilian, what it meant to be just a person. And I didn't have any idea what I was going to do because my whole purpose was this other thing that I had been doing. My brain was messed up, you know, so it was a mental thing. It was PTSD, anxiety, and trauma and all that. And but there was also the physiological aspect of it to it. You know, people talk about mental health, but like your amygdala gets messed up and your whole brain chemistry gets messed up. And so there's that, it's mental health kind of, but it's a physiological change that you had to your body. So I'm dealing with that too at the time. And I went to the VA and asked for help, you know, therapy and all that, and tried to figure. I ended up, actually, my therapist was into Eastern practices. So she taught me mindfulness meditation. I got really lucky to get matched with someone like that. So she taught me mindfulness meditation. She gave me the power of now to read, which at the time didn't mean anything to me. I've read it since then, and it obviously means a lot. But you know, it was a process. It was 7 years of me just kind of wandering around, trying to figure out who I was, what I was going to do, and if I was ever going to get out of this like swamp that I was in.
Yeah, definitely when it comes to people leaving the military, like as a society we talk about like PTSD, but it's not like, but we don't really talk about like all the other aspects of that transition that affects soldiers.
Yeah. Because you like lose yourself. Like I think that, yeah, people don't realize that when you're a soldier, especially like this whole generation that we sent to war, you know, me included, my wife included, our friends, like we lost our, you lose your youth really early. And then like you're so busy. Like I never grew up. I never became an adult. I mean, like I didn't have that much stuff I had to worry about in the civilian world because I was always overseas. So I didn't have like a house or a car or more, you know, I didn't have all these bills. You know, I was just like a kid. I was doing an important job, or a job I thought was important and stressful and engaging and all this stuff, but I didn't have to worry about like adulting, you know? And so I really, I have never, we also, a lot of us don't grow up as much as we, you know, may.
Well, yeah, I guess it's like you go from like living with your parents, like if someone joins when they're like 18, they go like from living with their parents to like the military basically kind of being their parent and telling them what to do, right?
It's true.
So, yeah.
And I mean, that's one of the reasons out of high school, like I knew college wasn't for me because I figured I would never go to class. I figured the army would make me work, and they did. So.
So there's a lot of tools obviously in the self-improvement and psychology realm. What drew you to like the spiritual side of it?
Well, for me, it was that when I had that moment of clarity, understanding, I'm like, oh, okay, life makes sense to me now. And for me, it was, I felt like it was this spiritual thing. But for me, I really consider spirituality, self-help, self-improvement, religion, science, art. I see it, philosophy. I see all this stuff is very overlapping. I think it's all very different ways to communicate a very similar thing. You know, like even if you're a scientist, you're an atheist or whatever, you know, you still believe in consciousness. Like scientists know consciousness exists, right? But they can't prove it. They can't solve for X on it, but they kind of know that it exists in the universe. So we all believe in something, right? We all, there's all this, there's all something that we think, oh, this is this thing out there that we don't necessarily understand that we want to figure out more. So, but what drew me to spirituality was just that I felt like it was just like, in the way, and it just made sense. And I've done a lot of reading to try to be able to communicate with people and talk about it. And part of that has been the, you know, spiritual books, religious books, but also I think self-improvement, self-help, and even some books on science are very informative to be able to have conversations like you and I are having.
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, I find it interesting. Like, you can like look at so many different like aspects of like this world, you know, kind of thing. And so many of the things are like kind of basically saying the same thing. Like, there's just like
Exactly.
these universal truths that just like you came across to it to in a different angle, kind of thing.
Yeah. No, yeah. And I wish, I love that you say that because I wish we could all say that more. Because I feel like, and I feel like we have all these things we argue over, But at the same time, if I walk up to any person on the planet, the chances of us agreeing on 90%, like we want to be healthy, we want our children and our communities to be happy and safe and all this stuff. Like we want all the same things in life. You know, we're very, very much similar things. And so that's one reason I feel like we can have conversations like this, because why do we have to really get so entrenched in that 10% that we disagree on?
Well, yeah, I mean, really, there are like, you know, universal things that, yeah, just everyone wants, like all over the world. Like, you can, like, you know, listen, like, I mean, obviously, you need translation, maybe, but like, you know, listen to like music or movies. And like, there's like the same things being said, you know, basically, like from all these people, because everyone wants ultimately the same things. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
What is your goal in with your work?
That's a really good question. It's a very thoughtful question. My goal is to help people know that they're whole inside, whether they know it or not, to see light and to be able to navigate their own way and be empowered within themselves. I want to be able to give that message to people, and they don't have to believe what anyone else believes. They don't have to believe what I believe. They just need to believe in themselves, and they need to love themselves and find their way. And they can.
Yeah, for sure. Why were you drawn to working in online spaces in particular?
Well, I felt like, you know, the whole COVID thing, and when it happened, there was obviously all this downside, of course. But I think the one thing it showed us is that we live in the 21st century, and there's all this amazing stuff that can connect us. We don't have to be co-located to have a conversation. We can share energy across digits and ones and zeros. Like, we can sense each other's energy even through a video screen, you know. And so there was, like I said, there's got to be a place in this world where we can have a community. You know, we grew up in the, you know, I grew up in a small town of 8,000 people. It was a community. It wasn't always the best community, but it was a community. And I think we all move away faster from our hometowns now, and we go out in the world. And sometimes we can feel very isolated in this digital world, even though we've got people all around us. And so it doesn't have to be that way. Like, it doesn't have to be Facebook, Instagram, or nothing. You know, there can be an alternative where, and I don't demonize social media. I think social media is fine. I think it has a bunch of problems. Mm-hmm. But I think it's also what we make it. You know, we can be slaves to the algorithm or demonize the algorithm, or we can say, I can choose who I follow or unfollow. I can choose the message that I put out in the world. And so I just felt like a space that was smaller than that too would be helpful, where there were not trolls and there weren't ads all over, and there also wasn't something from a giant corporation that's trying to send you what they think you want that will keep you on that, you know, something that is more authentic and more thoughtful and would be better for each individual person.
Yeah, I like what you said about, like, you know, I mean, obviously there are some things that we can't control about social media, but that we have more control than we think we do, and that, like, you can curate, like, what you want it to be. It doesn't have to be a negative place,
right,
kind of thing. Because I know for myself, I've very specifically, like, joined, like, certain kinds of groups on Facebook, yeah, you know, to, like surround myself by positive people, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you stop arguing with strangers on the internet, really good things happen. it's this freeing thing where, you know, it's like, we don't, and I, that's one reason I like, you know, the whole fun is fundamental, that idea that you have is we should be having fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always go back to Oscar Wilde, like, life is too important to be taken seriously, right? Like, I grew up that way as a kid, as a teenager, and as a high schooler. And then I went to the Army and I kind of got lost, and I took life way too seriously. Mm-hmm. But life is too important to be taken seriously. And we can live that way. We have to choose it. And we're never going to get to our destination. Like, we're never going to get to that place we think we're going to get to. We can't, you know, we plan our life away. We're going to, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know, what are you doing right now? Like, are you enjoying today? Are you moving in this journey in a way that is okay with you? Are you, you know, and if you're not enjoying it, then you're not going to be happy. The people around you aren't going to be happy. So you can think, oh, I'm doing this job and I work this job because it makes good money and I can support my wife and kids or my husband and my kids. Well, if you're not happy, they're not going to be happy, even if you're doing that job. So to an extent, I mean, there's a balance there, but.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, we can't survive on our, good intentions or, whatever
Right.
kind of thing. Like, we do need money, unfortunately, in this world,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But does it have to be this job that's
Right.
making you miserable, right? Yeah. For sure. And, and also, like, obviously, like, you can have, like, enjoy, like, find things to enjoy about work. But it's also like, what are you doing outside of work? Like, you have definitely control over that. So like, even if you don't love your job, like what is it else that can light you up, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and that and where we put our attention and where we decide to have fun and have joy in our life, and you know, that's going to make a huge difference, even if we don't like our job.
Was there anything in your military life that you think helped you to be where you are now? Like it that has like guided you?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I've always been good with people, but like not always, but from my freshman year on in high school, I had kind of figured out how to be in society and work. I was kind of an awkward kid before that, but the military taught me to do that in a better way. I was, you know, counterintelligence. I had to deal with people. It was my job, so I can work with people really well. I've always been a bit of an empath, so. I got to hone those skills because you know, like what do other people, I could sense what kind of what they felt and what they needed and what they, you know, like it helped me deal with people easier. And so I honed those skills. I was a leader a lot of times in the military. And I think being a driven professional in my job, working all those hours, taught me something about doing that. And it can be meaningful. I think there's probably something inherently spiritual about doing something that you love. This was a very dark machine I was a part of, but it didn't mean I didn't love my job. I didn't believe at the time. At the time, I really believed in what I was doing. I don't believe in that now. But it taught me about doing something that you can't wait to go to sleep at night so you can wake up and do it the next day. And so I think there's a lot to be said about living your purpose and living some, you know, if you can't wait to go to bed to get up to do something the next day, whether it's your job or a hobby or a relationship or something, you know, we're doing it wrong.
Yeah, for sure. What are the most important aspects of your journey that you would like the society as a whole to learn?
You know, the universe has light and dark. You know, you talk about Taoism and the yin and the yang and the balance of everything. I believe we walk that gray line in the middle, which is the balance of the universe, the way. And I think we have to have a sense that the darkness exists. We have to know that. I think a lot of people that have gone through some stuff know that the darkness exists, right? I think that gives a great contrast. And you're like, oh, there's light over here. This is cool. And so if we are the balance that walks that middle way, we get to choose where we put our energy and our attention and our focus. And so I believe we should choose the light. It's not going to always be light. There's always going to be darkness because that's the universe. That's the balance. But we get to choose where we put our attention and focus. And we should love ourselves. And for me, if we're going to live that balance and know the light, we have to lift up ourselves first. If we don't love ourselves and take care of ourselves, it's that age old adage of putting your own oxygen mask on before the person next to you in the airplane. It's it's fundamentally critical that you take care of yourself first, or otherwise you won't be any good to anybody else. So those are the kind of things that are like base level stuff for me.
Yeah, for sure. I always like to ask my guests, how do you define fun?
Fun is joy. Like what gives you joy? What makes you smile? Like I said, what do you want to get up and do the next day that you can't wait to do? Like when you were a kid and you want to go on a field trip the next day and you couldn't, wait to just get up and go to school. Like what is that? Figure out what that is. Like, what makes you smile? What lights you up? What lights your brain up? And if you don't know, like you need to go figure that out.
Yeah, like go just try things, and you might,
Yeah.
and the good thing is, yeah, you might find things that you're like, no, I don't like that, but you're gonna find a lot of other things that you do like, right?
Yeah, like I have fun talking about this stuff. Like I want to talk about it because I want to find other people that want to talk about it. So that's fun for me. And that's not going to be fun for everybody. So like what works for you?
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, like sometimes I'll like I'm like, 'cause I'm an introvert. There's definitely days where I'm like, when I'm gonna do an interview where I'm just like, I'm just not feeling it. But as soon as I'm like, I'm doing it, I'm like, I love having these conversations, But I just have to like just do the thing,
Yeah, no, I totally get that. There's always that thing that we're like, man, I don't want to do this right now. And then you go do it and you're like, oh, I'm having fun now.
Yeah, completely. Well, yeah, we just get into like our habits and our like this is our routine and like I'm just like just existing kind of thing. But then you just gotta like put yourself out there and yeah, definitely helps. I also like to ask people what their play personality. According to the Institute of Play, there are eight play personalities. There's the Joker, the kinesthetic, the competitor, the storyteller, the collector, the director, the explorer, and the creative. And you can be more than one.
I'm probably a director explorer, I would say. Yeah, I would say that's I'm really, really explorer, partially director, I think. Primarily explorer. I like to know the why behind things. So I used to ask it all the time in the army, got me in trouble.
Yeah, I imagine. It's like, no, you don't need to know why. Just do the
Yeah.
thing. Where as a kid, did you like drive the adults around you crazy by asking why?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I spent a lot of time in the hallway in school. I actually spent a lot of time in the hallway even in church. So, I was always in the hallway,
Yeah.
growing up, in trouble.
I mean, I like it's one of those things where like I was a teacher and it's like those kids that like push those things. It's like you both are like, why can't you just be easy? But at the same time you're like you're gonna go places kind of thing,
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I get that now. And I feel bad for some of my teachers that I can look back and be like, man, I was kind of a little jerk, but kids will be kids, right?
Yeah, completely. And it's like yeah, you should be like curious about things and like not always just like do what is you're being told. So like yeah. I definitely like respect that when I was like as a teacher, but also I'm like, can't you just be easy?
Yeah.
What would be your dream vacation?
That's a great question. I think just like maybe like a cabin right at the edge of the woods on a lake, where you can just watch and like hang out in the cabin, maybe go play on the lake, wave runners and stuff like that, and come back to the cabin and read a book, that kind of thing. I think that's probably where I would be happiest.
Yeah. Like tranquility plus like fun kind of
Yeah,
thing.
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Are you a more of a cat or a dog person?
I'm a dog person for sure, 100%.
Do you have any pets?
We have two dogs, and I had cats growing up. My wife loves cats. I like cats. But I'm allergic to them, so we don't have a cat. But like, I appreciate cats. I do think they're trying to kill us all, but I do like cats.
They are psychopaths,
Yeah,
a
for
hundred
sure.
percent. Yes. When's the last time you laughed so hard that it hurt?
Oh man, that was just a few days ago. I think I was reading something on Reddit that made me laugh. Sometimes I'll be reading something on Reddit and someone will say something and it just makes me roll over. I wake Stacy up, my wife, sometimes laughing so hard at night because I'm reading Reddit and I find something really funny. People are
Yeah.
funny.
People are funny. Like sometimes you're like, I love when like someone will say something and then someone will like say something else and like they just go on like this chain of
Yeah.
just adding to it. Like, yeah,
Yeah.
it's great. Yeah. What is your favorite holiday?
That's another good question. I think Christmas. I love Christmas. I always have as a kid. I think ever since I was a kid, I've been chasing that high of being a kid at Christmas too. And like my wife and I watch Harry Potter every year at Christmas as well, so that's fun. Been doing that for years. So, and I love that time of year. It's that time of year too. It's like when people kind of let go and they stop trying to reach out to you in the digital world, and you just kind of it's just very chill. I like that aspect of it as well. You gotta get left alone for Christmas if you're working or you're busy, and so I like that part of it too.
Yeah, there's definitely like a, like
Yeah,
just,
stand down.
yeah. Are you more of a car person or plane?
That's a funny question for me. I used to drive everywhere, and ever since I think it was 2008, I stopped driving. I don't drive anymore. Stacy drive. My wife drives us everywhere. I haven't driven a car on a highway since 2008.
No.
And so I'm probably a plane person. I don't like to fly much anymore either. I'm a homebody, but I like the I like I used to love getting on a plane and going anywhere. I've been to four different continents and seen a lot of places, and there's something to be said about getting on a plane and seeing the world, you know.
Yeah. What were some of your favorite places that you saw?
I love the desert. I was fascinated with Lawrence of Arabia growing up as a kid, and I wanted to do that. So be careful what you wish for, kids. You never know what's going to happen. So I really appreciate the desert. It's warm, it's cold, it's dry. There's torrential rains that cause floods. There's dust storms. So I love the deserts of Kuwait, Iraq, Afghanistan. They're beautiful places. And I got to travel to Ethiopia one time, and Addis Ababa, and another one of the towns in the Tigray region. That was interesting. It was beautiful. I would definitely go back there. And then I'll give a shout out to the Desert Southwest, because the Desert Southwest of the United States, like Arizona, New Mexico, stunning.
Yeah, there's something about those like the rock formations that you get in the
Yeah.
desert and like the wide openness of it. Yeah, it's like really quite fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah. I should probably live in the desert, actually, talking to you about all this. Like, it makes me realize I should probably go live in the desert.
Well, yeah, I mean, like you're like, dude, I love the desert. Like it's like you
Sorry.
gotta get
Yeah,
back.
I got to go back.
Yeah. I mean that's cool that like you ended up in a place, that you really loved when you were
Yeah.
in the military. So yeah, because I'm sh not everyone probably felt the same way
No,
about the
not at all. No, not at all.
desert. What were some of the things that you really loved doing as a kid?
I love to read. I read a ton. Reading's been a huge part of my life the whole time. And then my family had a farm. We lived in town, about that small town, 8,000 people, but our family shared a farm outside of town that was about 500 acres, and it had a lake on it that was a 40-acre lake. And so I liked being at the farm, barefoot, running around, swimming, fishing, exploring. I guess that goes back to your question earlier. Just figuring things out. So yeah, just I think just that was one of my favorite things to do.
As a kid, were you like going and like finding like wild animals, like finding like frogs and things like that? Like also, or yeah.
Like frogs and like horned frogs and there's all kinds of animals on the farm. You'd run across skunks and bobcats, and there was an owl that was on the property that was like the same owl.
Oh.
So it was like a really interesting place. It was a waterfall, so it was all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah, sounds like a cool place to grow up as a kid.
It was really neat. I was fortunate.
Because like, definitely not a lot of kids do not have like good places to explore as children, which is
No,
unfortunate.
it is. Yeah, it's what's important. And green space, like we know green space is really important for kids.
Yeah, completely. I grew up like in the city, so it's like not a ton of green space. We just ran around our like neighborhood kind of thing. If you could see into the future, how far ahead would you want to see?
Well, that's a tricky question. That's a very like I feel like this is like a Three Wishes Aladdin situation almost. Like I don't know. I would want to see a couple thousand years in the future. I want to see what we do. I have great faith in humanity and humankind. I think we're going to be okay. So I would like to see how that equation works out.
I'm kind of both. Like sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I'm terrible. And then other times I'm like, oh, we'll figure this out. Like,
Yeah, we'll figure it out. I think we'll be okay.
How about the, quintessential like question that people like to ask a lot of times? If you were having dinner party with three people, who would you invite?
Oh, wow, that's another great question. Well, my first answer is probably Tupac. I'm a Tupac fan. I think he was a poet, and so I'd want to talk to him. Anybody in history? I'm going to say there's a guy by the name of Ramana Maharishi, who was a sage of the like late 19th, early 20th century in India. Kind of the "Who am I?" thought inquiry for Hinduism. So I want to talk to him. And even though, and this is going to be kind of an odd answer for me, and it's probably a really similar answer for a lot of people, but given that the Judeo-Christian establishment has been such a forceful force in people's lives, I would love to meet and see and ask questions of Jesus Christ, because I really want to be like, dude, like, you ran this cult. You were a Jew and you ran this cult. And it kind of blew up after you died, bro. So, like, can you tell me what you actually believed before people started writing down what they thought you believed? So I'm gonna say Jesus Christ, even though I'm no longer a Christian.
I mean, I'm not a Christian, but I think it'd be very fascinating to meet Jesus Christ. Yeah, like so many questions. For sure. What invention do you think has had the greatest impact on human civilization?
Wow, that is a really good question. I'm gonna say time. When we started to keep track of time and invent time, I read an article about it once, and it fascinated me. It changed the way that we were able to navigate via ships. It changed the way that we met one another. It changed the way that we lived our lives every single day. I think it probably had a bigger impact on human civilization than probably even the internet. So I'm gonna say the invention of time, the
Wow.
concept, an idea of it.
Yeah, that's cool. I don't, yeah, there's like, I hadn't really even thought of that, but that makes perfect sense that it really affected everything, right? Yeah. What kind of people do you admire the most?
I admire kind people the most. Kindness is loving kindness is my guiding value, and I haven't lived a perfect life. I've been an asshole to people, of course, and but I've tried to live my life being a kind person. Even before I was a spiritualist, I tried to be kind. There were some people I yelled at in my army days that probably don't see me saying that right now, but for the most part, I was kind. My peers recognized me as that, and I recognize that in other people. And so I really respect people and look up to people who are kind.
Are you a person that re remembers your dreams?
I go through phases in that. Sometimes I do, often I don't. I would say less, I would say I remember less than I remember. I remember less than when I remember.
The ones that you do, is there anything that's like recurring ever?
I don't have a lot of recurring stuff. I used to work so much in Afghanistan. I was there for 6.5 years. I used to work so hard. I used to dream about work, about recurring. But since then, I haven't really had any recurring stuff.
If you could live anywhere, I guess we just kind of talked about that. Maybe the desert. I was gonna, if you could live anywhere, where would you live and why?
Yeah, if I could choose to live anywhere and like no object of like boundaries or money or anything, I probably would live in the forest by like that whole vacation idea. The desert would be tempting, but I there's something to be, there's also a there's powerful thing. Water has this powerful thing with humans, right? We're 70% water, the earth's mostly water. So I think being next to water, hearing it. So next to a lake, maybe next to an ocean, I really like the sound of the waves as well. Like right next to the ocean, like right up on it.
For sure. Yeah, water's like my favorite place for sure. What's your favorite way of wasting time?
That is another, you have really good questions. I love this, by the way. I could do this all day. It's the best. This is the best. This is fun, by the way. I like to talk. I like to talk to other people. I probably like to talk more than I like to listen, but I'm also a good listener, if that makes sense. So I would just want to have conversations with people. I like when people talk and they're real. Like they just like tell the truth and tell the things that they really think and feel and are authentic. Like it's really cool. Those conversations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, oh, the best conversations are like those late night conversations with your
Yeah.
friends where you just like get really honest and like
Yeah,
heartfelt and you're
exactly
just
that.
like, oh, so good.
Yes.
What do you think your parents would answer if you a asked, if asked, what was the craziest thing you ever did as a child?
Oh man. I think I was a lot as a child. I was extra, as they say. Yeah. I opened the baby gate once and tumbled down the stairs. That was pretty crazy. I was fine. Smiled at the end.
I'm glad you were fine. Is
So, no
that
broken anything, just smiling. So,
Yeah. I'm sure you gave your parents a heart attack.
going back to that explorer thing. So,
For sure. If you had an extra room in your house, what would you use it for?
That's a good question too. You know, at this point, I probably, if I had just one whole extra room, I would probably make a like YouTube studio slash Zoom studio to have these kind of conversations and have it exactly how I wanted it with sound and everything wired right and all that. That sounds I make YouTube videos in addition to doing podcasts, so that matters to me, like acoustics and everything. It doesn't have to be perfect. That would be cool to have its own dedicated space so I don't have to move stuff around and switch stuff around, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, at this point I just like I'm doing my podcast on just my laptop, and sometimes I'll be like over there, and sometimes I'll be here, and sometimes I'll be, like, it's just like I don't have a dedicated space, and yeah, it would be kind of nice to have a dedicated space for sure.
Yeah. It would be nice.
Yeah. What would you like to be better at?
I would like to be better at being a little less reactionary about some things. I feel like not reacting to things is part of being like more centered and grounded spiritually. And I'm pretty good at it, but sometimes I get irritated with myself or with someone else or my wife or whatever. And I would like to be a little bit less of a jerk sometimes. I do okay at it, you know, but I would like to get better, even better at it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's do some word association.
Okay.
What do you think of when you think of fire?
Water.
Coffee.
No. Sorry.
Home.
The best. I love being home.
Summer.
Winter. Hi. I'm a winter fan.
Yeah. The beach.
The ocean. I love the ocean.
Space.
The idea of like we came out of the cave and we explored and we can keep going and figuring it out. That's what I think about, like that idea.
Nice.
The final frontier.
Yeah. Travel.
Wisdom.
Sadness.
Unnecessary. A necessary part of life.
The forest.
Winnie the Pooh.
No.
That's not my vocabulary, really. I know people say that as a cliche, but I always found a way to yes in the army. But the first answer in the army was always no when I asked to do something. And I spent my whole life in the army finding a way to yes. So.
Laughter.
Love, yeah.
Water.
Peace.
Light.
Dark.
Music.
The rhythm of the universe.
All right, last one. Joy.
That's life. That's what life should be.
What kind of music do you like?
I like almost anything. I country, rap, pop music, classic rock. I like instrumental classical. Pretty much anything. I'm not a huge metal fan. I'm not so pretty much anything but like that hard stuff. I love most music. But the metal, the hard stuff, I just can't I can't get into it.
Yeah. What about like, is there any like for myself, like there's some kind of jazz, certain types of jazz that I'm just like, I don't get it.
Yeah, it has to be like if it's too improvisational, like I like some like, you know, on the riff and everything, but like if it's too like janky, I can't do it.
Yeah.
It's like it feels very metal to me, actually.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Like
It's just
smooth jazz, yeah, I'll take smooth jazz, but like yeah, when it ain't when the too many riffs and too many like that doesn't speak to me for whatever reason.
if I can't pick out any kind of like melody at all, I'm
Yeah,
just
yeah.
like, my
Yeah,
brain just
very, very
melts.
much. Yeah, blues is fine. Like blues, smooth jazz, I can go that way, but yeah, same.
Calling or texting?
You know, I text a lot with my friends, but I still like to talk to my friends on the phone. So I would say call if I had to pick one. But of course I do text a lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, there's times when like texting, like it just, you just need like a short answer. Like it doesn't make sense to, call.
I think we'd be better off if we talked more to people. 'Cause I think there's that connection that we can have that just like you and I are talking right now, it's very meaningful, that kind of thing. So I think we should talk to our friends more.
I do have to say that I am very guilty of not calling people.
Same. Same.
Yeah, except for my mom. I call my mom.
Yeah.
Would you rather go camping or go to a hotel?
Oh God, a hotel. Five-star hotel all the way. And I'm not, I feel, yeah, full star, yeah, full service five-star hotel, please. I've done a lot of camping in my childhood. I've gone to all the national parks with my family. I was fortunate, loved it. My wife talks about going camping now, and I'm like, you can have it. Like, I'll go stay at the hotel. You go camping. We'll hang out during the day.
Yeah, I the sleeping outside in a on a blow up mattress or whatever you're doing is definitely not going to compare, right?
No, you can find me in the spa, as if I could afford it, I'll be, getting a massage in the spa or whatever. Like I'll take the hotel.
Yeah, I guess that brings me. What makes you feel like the most luxurious? Like,
That's a good question. That's a really good question. That's a hard question. I think comfort. I think any time that we can obtain that ideal concept of whatever comfort is to us, that's very luxurious. I think we can get that a lot of different places too. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It's a certain place, but yeah, find where you're comfortable.
If you had a superpower, what would it be?
That'd be to be invisible for sure. I think that's a very elastic superpower. The choice to be invisible, not to always be.
Sure. No one, no. To always be invisible would be
Yeah,
awful.
I gotta quantify that wish to the genie of the lamp that I gotta get that wish just right because there's a lot of ways that could go wrong. So
Yeah, you don't want it to turn into a monkey paw situation.
no, not at all. So yeah, but to be able to be invisible, yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like some people would want to like read someone's thoughts or something like that, but that's
Hell
something you
no.
would want to control.
No.
I wouldn't. That's not my choice, but some people would like that, but not like all the time. That would be terrible.
Right. No, that would be tough.
What is something that's making you happy this week?
I'm getting to spend time with my mom. She's been a little bit under ill health, but I'm up here at her place with my wife, and we're getting to see her more. So that's nice.
That's good.
It's
Yeah.
good.
Do you have any favorite books that you like to recommend to people?
Yeah, the one I recommend first usually is it's called Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer, and she was she is Anishinaabe Native American, and she was a poet. She's also an actual scientist and a professor of botany at the State University of New York system, the SUNY system, and she writes a beautiful it's a beautiful prose and it's great stories, and that we're not in nature but we are nature. So that's the first book I'd recommend. And then I mean, there are others, but that's the definitely the first one I would say.
Yeah, I remember so I'm part of a book club and I remember like that one came up and I was like, oh, I definitely want to read that. It did not win in our vote. But so I do want to read that one. So
You'll love it.
it's good to know.
You'll
Good
love
to
it.
know. Yep. Awesome. Okay. On my to be read list.
Yeah.
What can always cheer you up?
I really like to watch OU football. Both my parents went to the University of Oklahoma, and I always like when as spiritual as I am, as detached as I try to be from things, I still like to watch OU win football games. So that will always cheer me up.
I mean, I think it's good to have like earthly things that you love
100%.
that bring
Absolutely.
you like joy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I hope they beat the other team as much by as many points as they can. So,
Yeah. You're like, yeah. Yeah. All right, we're nearing our hour mark. I'm gonna ask you two more questions.
okay.
What accomplishment are you most proud of?
That's a hard one for me. I'm gonna give you two answers, even though I probably you don't want two answers, but I'm gonna give you two answers. The first one is like creating our spiritual community is very meaningful to me. It's been a labor of love and probably the best thing I've ever done. But in Afghanistan, amidst all this darkness and stuff, I helped create a unit that was kind of a one of a kind, and we didn't have a lot of support. We had to kind of do it on our own. It was tough. We had to be scrappy and fight for scraps and make things happen, and we did. And we were really good at it. And eventually, we became pretty well known for what we did. And we protected people. Our job was to protect Kandahar Airfield and keep it safe. And we kept people safe. And there was a lot of darkness, like I said, a lot of stuff. But we did a really good thing. And so, helping create that is one of the best things I ever did.
And where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Hopefully, a thriving online digital spiritual community and doing physical retreats in person to connect with people on a human level face to face as well. Living my best life, and living my dharma, my higher purpose.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for being on. It was really great talking to you. It was a great conversation. Where can the audience find you?
Yeah, our main webpage is kishar.org, KISHAR.org, and that's the entrance to our community. And it also has links to our socials. We have a pretty cool YouTube channel you can find from there. And I also want to say thank you for having me on your show. And it's a beautiful show. I love the concept, and it's so needed in the world. So I definitely appreciate everything that you're doing.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and I appreciate what you're doing, and anyone who's all of us are trying to bring some light into the world, I appreciate all everyone. And I will definitely put that in the show notes. Yeah, so thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have a good rest of your day.